Hello, my beloved sisters. I have missed seeing every one of you. I hope and pray that you've not lacked comfort, encouragement, care, love, and hope as we embrace these difficult and uncertain times. And I hope too that you've been making and finding time to rest. You know, my simple desire at the beginning of this year was to grow in my prayer, and hasn't God given enough to pray about? When everything shut down, I was somehow grateful that I would have more time to be still, to pray, to rest, and to read all the books I'd started and never got time to finish, and to spend time with my family. Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. We can plan great things that God can use to help us in areas we want to grow in, and He will indeed provide everything we need for that growth to happen. But you know, Satan also has a plan. And like John 10:10 says, his goal is to kill, steal, and to destroy. As we and the rest of the world go through these tough times of the pandemic and its effects, it definitely feels like death, loss, and destruction are all around us. But there is one key thing that I believe Satan wants to take away from us more than anything else, and this is what I'd like us to talk about today. Let us pray. Holy Father, you are the Almighty God, powerful and able, the God of miracles. How grateful we are that you're full of compassion, you're kind, you're gracious, and you are loving. I pray that you help us through your word to be reminded of the God we serve, and that you please help us to fully depend on you daily so we can find the strength that we need, not only to make it through these difficult times, but to see that we can be a part of the solution that is desperately needed, but to also renew our resolve to making it to heaven and to helping as many as we can make it with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to talk about prayer. In Luke 22:39-42, the Bible says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus gives us a perfect example of ultimate dependence on God. He understands what it means to go through challenges. He was at a place where no one could save him or help him through what he was about to endure. But Jesus knew where to go and who to go to. This is not the first time he was here on Mount Olives. Jesus chose a solitary place. He took close friends with him so he could stay focused to be able to pray earnestly. Jesus needed help to go through the journey ahead of him, but he had to wrestle through how he was feeling. He had to pray to surrender. This was an intense prayer. His sweat was like drops of blood. I'm sure you'll agree with me that the times we are in require earnest prayer. The word earnest is defined in the dictionary as serious in intention, purpose, or effort, sincerely zealous. You know, earnest, powerful prayer is not about how long or how short we pray, but it is spirit-led, heartfelt, and accompanied by faith. As I shared earlier about having a desire to pray, it has not been without struggle. I've had days and weeks when I've had a technology burnout from all the Zoom calls and phone calls and text messages, besides the burnout of being held hostage in the same space every day. And don't get me wrong, I am extremely grateful that I've felt safe, secure, not lacking what I need, for it is definitely a lot worse for a lot of people out there right now. But some days I felt lethargic, tired, and unmotivated, and one of the things that has had the potential to suffer is my prayer. There's also days I felt drained by the daily monotonous routine. You know, prayer is a Christian discipline that must be often practiced to fulfill its desired purpose, just like meditation, solitude, fasting, and study of scripture. I know when I say discipline, you may feel like, come on, Carol, that's too hard. I don't want anything that's hard right now. Richard J. Foster says, the spiritual disciplines are supposed to take us to the heart of God. And if we don't allow them to take us to the heart of God, they become rules. I believe prayer is the simplest ways to do exactly that. Sometimes, even with no words or with just mere whispers, prayer will take us to the very heart of God, no matter what's going on around us. For me, focusing on the fact that daily prayer will take me exactly where I need and want to be has helped me persist in prayer. But effective prayer, especially at such times, must be earnest. Jesus persisted in prayer. He was fully in touch with what was about to happen. So he went to God and he poured his soul out to his Father. The disciples, on the other hand, somehow did not take what was about to happen seriously. They fell asleep. I don't want to judge them, but it's clear that at this point, prayer wasn't a priority. It is said that Gethsemane was about a day's journey on foot. They were probably tired, exhausted, and indeed needed that sleep and rest. As we talk about earnest prayer, I want us to think about something. Think about our heroes who are extremely stretched right now. The first responders, doctors, nurses, government and health officials, those with family members that have gotten the virus, those living in hotspots like New York, those that have lost employment and are struggling to make ends meet. Think too about moms or dads with little kids and have to work from home and be teachers for their kids. Think about the teachers and all those one-on-one calls with their students. Think about people that live alone, people with mental and emotional health issues, and so many others. These people feel firsthand the intensity of the war we are in right now. I do acknowledge that this is still an extremely hard time for everyone, but for some of us, we are pretty shielded and protected in our homes. We have to be careful that we don't become apathetic and indifferent. We can so easily find ourselves comfortable and complacent in times that call for us to be wrestling in prayer. Maybe if the disciples really had believed Jesus and all he had said about his death and the effect it would have on them, they probably would have stayed awake and prayed with Jesus. Hebrews 6:7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. It's easy during this time to look to our governments, the health officials, the scientists for a cure, and rightly so. But some things are even beyond the smartest and most powerful human beings. As God's children, we must look to the one who is able to save us. This pandemic is not too big for our God. Effective and earnest prayer must be focused on who it is we are praying to. As we wait for our God to end this, for a restored economy, as we seek comfort for the losses, let us resolve to pray like we've never prayed before. I want to read a few scriptures that focus on an attribute of our Father that as we pray, we can focus on: the God who hears us. Exodus 2:23 to 25. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning I'm sorry, God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked down on the Israelites and was concerned about them. The Israelites cried out. God heard their cry. He remembered. He looked on them and was concerned about them. And he did send them help, and he rescued them. Psalm 18, 1-7. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my cry. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The psalmist cried out to God in his distress, and God moved heaven and earth to save and to rescue him. 1 Chronicles 7:13-14. When I shut up the heaven so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Today you and I are God's people, called by his name. Let us humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. Let us turn away from our sins. You know, our God promises to hear us and to heal our land. In the above scriptures, they had to cry out to God, and he heard them and he responded. And there's so many other scriptures in the Bible that talk about his people crying out to him and him hearing those prayers and rescuing them. You know, we may not be out there physically fighting this battle, but I believe we can be in battle on our knees each day for each other, our country, for the world, for our friends and for our families. Our God longs to hear us. He longs to answer us. But let us not forget, he longs to be with us, and he is waiting. I want to encourage you to increase your prayer. Pray more earnestly. Set little reminders around the house to pray, even for just a minute or a couple of minutes. Set a timer so you can remember to pray. Call someone and pray with them. Let's not become weary in prayer. Sisters, I want to challenge us to even consider taking a night alone to spend time praying and crying out to our God. I also want to encourage us to wrestle in prayer about your sin, for you to put your character flaws and your character challenges that are not godly before God, and to ask him for help to help you get a transformation. This is a time too for us to be careful, because we may be tempted to look for comfort and consolation in sinful ways that only bring destruction. Wrestle in prayer so you can become a woman that is submitted to God's will and not your will. I also encourage you to push through the lethargy and the complacence, the laziness that can befall us at such times. I want to encourage you to say no sometimes to the phone and to those TV shows that you love, and to spend that time instead in prayer. In Acts 1, verse 14, the Bible says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I love the transformation of the disciples. Indeed, sisters, it's never too late to change. It's never too late to really start praying earnestly to our God. The disciples at this time were more alert and they constantly met together to pray. They got it. This Friday, we'll dedicate the night praying together as women in our church. We'll pray from 8 p.m. till 5 a.m. the next morning. If you haven't signed up yet, please contact your family group leader for details. Let's dedicate this time to earnestly pray and cry out to God, knowing that he longs to hear us and to help us. And let's also seek to hear him as he responds to us and as he answers us. And let's be on the lookout to see how God is answering our prayers and how he's going to answer our prayers, so we can constantly remember to thank him and to praise him. I love you. Stay well. Stay safe until we see each other again. Amen.